Welcome to another Leviticus study. This is number 8. We're in Leviticus chapter 5, verses 7 through 19. And we want to send out our hillbilly holla out to Brother Sean Rakes. Brother Sean, here's your hillbilly holla. And we are glad to have Sean with us locally with BBF, as well as online. And got a little baby girl, Chloe, that we love. She's pretty as can be and cute as can be. And so we pray for the Lord's blessings on them. As we go to prayer before we begin our study, Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity that I've had to study and prepare, learning so much that I'll now share with others. I pray you take whatever they can glean from my teaching, and with the Holy Spirit's help, continue to learn even more. And we just thank you for that wonderful Holy Spirit who resides in us. He guides us, he comforts, he counsels, and we thank you for the blessing of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, in each one of us as believers. In Jesus' name, amen. We pick up where we left off in our last study. This is the law of the trespass offering, and this involves secret sin that was to be confessed, and a female lamb or goat was to be offered. And we went over that in our previous study. Well, now we see that there is accommodation made for the poor. If you couldn't afford to bring a lamb or a goat, isn't that good to know that the Lord makes provision for the poor? We're not poor by most people's standards, but we're certainly not rich. And I've been in situations where I was really poor. I was living paycheck to paycheck, didn't have a lot of money. But I gave the Lord his portion, and I put away what I could in savings to prepare for a rainy day, as they say. And every bit of the rest of it went for bills and food and gas. And that's how I lived week to week for several years earlier on in my Christian walk. And so when I see passages like this, it's just very sweet of the Lord to see his compassion. So verse 7 says, "And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass, which he hath committed, 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons unto the Lord, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering." Now, I haven't read this anywhere, but I suppose that this was allowed by the Lord because a person could actually just catch a turtle dove or a pigeon pretty easily if he's, physically capable, and he wouldn't have to pay for one. My wife feeds the birds around here, and we see some amazing and colorful birds, like the blue jay and the blue bird. I've only seen one blue bird, but it's a beautiful blue. The red-bellied woodpecker, and then there's the red-headed woodpecker. There are red-winged blackbirds, purple martins, robins with their bright orange bellies, all kinds of beautiful, and cardinals. And cardinals, those bright red cardinals are just my favorite birds. But the doves and the pigeons are the slowest and dumbest birds that ever show up in our yard. I've actually buried a number over the years after they slam into our windows. They die from the concussion, I guess. And I'm thinking, how dumb. I mean, none of the other birds do this. But Jesus applied Isaiah 61:1 to himself when he said in Luke 4:18 and 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord," end quote. And so when I see that, I think of the poor. So many poor people have been saved, while very few rich people. And so the poor suffered through this life not having much, but they had the most important thing if they believed on Jesus. They had eternal life. And I see the promise of healing. And some of us are poor physically because we just don't have good health. And you might be able to tell by the sound of me, and now and from time to time you'll hear it, I have a chronic obstructive pulmonary disease with severe allergies, asthma, and chronic bronchitis, and sometimes it flares up worse than at other times. It's chronic, so I constantly deal with it. And I look forward to that time when we receive our permanent healing and get that glorified body. But this prophecy, or this offering, I'm sorry, speaks of the prophecy that's fulfilled in Jesus Christ as the priest offers these offerings brought by the poor as a sin offering and as a burnt offering. Verses 8 and 9 says, "And he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off his head from his neck, but shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle of the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering." I've gone through my Bible actually with a red ink pen, one of those special Micron pens. I'll have to get those. I don't have them on my desk at the moment. I'll show you what I'm talking about. But you can buy them at places like Hobby Lobby, I believe, and Fabric, Joann Fabrics, Michaels, places like that. And I've gone through with a red ink pen, so I use those so it doesn't bleed through the page and mess up my Bible. But I've circled the word blood throughout the Bible. You'll see that this has got a thread of blood through the whole thing. And even with this offering of the poor of these little birds, we see the shedding of blood. And we refer you to the beginning of the previous study where we explained this requirement in some detail. So I hope you go verse by verse with us. Don't just jump from lesson to lesson. You should go through the whole thing if you're going to get a real good, thorough introduction to the book of Leviticus. And yes, I'm saying that even if you go verse by verse with us through the whole thing, it'll be an introduction. You will continue to learn more and more and more through the book of Leviticus. You know, if you read 3 chapters a day is the average. If you read through our Bible calendar that we offer on our website, you go to bbfohio.com under resources and PDF downloads, and you can download your own copy of that, save it on your phone, save it on your computer, print it out, whatever you want to do. Follow that. You'll read through the Bible every year. Then go back and do studies, maybe a chapter at a time. And because you read, just read. Don't stop. Go through the whole thing. Then go back and study where you read and stop, and you might look things up. You might compare Scripture with Scripture. You might compare a commentary by a Matthew Henry or J. Vernon McGee or someone, Peter Ruckman's commentaries, a number of, and then on Sword Searcher, I have a number of commentaries from John Wesley, men with the last name of Trapp, and what are some of these others? I have to look. I don't even remember some of the last names of them. But A.C. Gabelin, Adam Clark, which sometimes is all right, and so forth. Schofield's notes are in here and everything. Go back and study, but don't neglect just reading the Bible. Read it through and go through the Bible once a year. And then you go back and do these studies. Follow along with us in these studies. And follow along with our Sunday and Wednesday studies. And I'm telling you, in a year's time, you will receive more Bible teaching and more Bible learning, some of which will be through your own efforts, than many people do in an entire lifetime. And I don't say that to boast. It'll be you reading your Bible, you doing your own study, and then Brother John and others at our meetings and myself teaching. And all we're doing is telling you things we've learned. And you take that and then build on that. And we just encourage you to do that. We want to see people learn the Word. That's what this ministry is all about. Preaching the gospel to lost souls and then seeing people learn the Word. So pick up in verse 10. It says, "And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the manner, and the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin which he hath sinned, and it shall be forgiven him. But the Lord goes even further to accommodate the poor, and this would appear to probably apply to the poor who was infirm, maybe mentally and or physically disabled and unable to chase down a pigeon or a dove and unable to purchase one. We would say today they're on a fixed income, and that means that they have to spend every penny wisely, and they have a budget, and they set and they spend this on this and that on that, and when the end of the month comes, that's it. And so that's the kind of person we see being accommodated, beginning in verse 11, and we'll read 11 and 12 together. But if he be not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he that sinned shall bring for his offering the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. He shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, for it is a sin offering. And why is that? Because that's expensive. Olive oil and frankincense. So God's making this very basic. It's basically the smallest requirement for the poor and infirm people who need an offering to bring to the Lord. So the priest just takes a small portion of fine flour with, again, no additional cost, with no oil, no frankincense, just plain fine flour, fine, F-I-N-E. It's important that you note that. And it's offered as a token, as an offering for this sin. And this fine flour pictures the physical body of Jesus. He was without impurities. Fine flour, you grind it, it's beaten and ground and pulverized like the body of Christ was on our account. And all the little things that shouldn't be there taken out. So then what you have at the end is a picture of Christ. And I always think of Isaiah 53 when we think of what Jesus did when he died on the cross. He had a crown of thorns pressed upon his head. He was beaten. He was mocked. Then nailed to that cross. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So the Lord instructs the poor sinner to make this simple offering and has respect for it when it's offered by faith in God's word. We always have to remind you that, sure, there were people who made the offering just to, you know, go through the motions, but God knew their hearts. He didn't respect such an offering. We don't just do religious things. What we do for the Lord, and we do it out of love for him. We do it by faith. We are demonstrating our faith. Even when we just do something like praying, we are demonstrating our faith. When we go to church, and when we give an offering, when we hand out gospel tracts, when we help someone in need, on and on, the things that we can do, we are to do that because we believe in God. We believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We believe that he sees us and he's pleased with us. And we're doing this by faith, and it's out of love that we do it. So verse 13 continues, and the priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin, that he hath sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him. And the remnant shall be the priests as a meat offering. So even the poorest of the poor made a contribution to the ministry of the priesthood by this offering. He didn't do that to be forgiven, but because he is forgiven on a probationary basis until Jesus would come and pay the full price for all sin when he died on the cross. The tiny amount that the priest offered was given to represent the faith of the person offering. And they would be forgiven on a temporary basis until Jesus came and died for all the sin, and then that would wash their sins away. But then this was given to the priesthood, and it was given in response to the forgiveness of sin, not to gain forgiveness of sin. And that's why we do works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then verse 10 is very important, because it says, for we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, you don't do works to be saved. We're saved by grace through faith alone, in the gospel alone. But in response to that, then we do works, not to be saved, but because we are saved. Now with verse 14, we're going to close out the chapter, and the Lord covers all the bases. And that's a baseball term, not basis, but bases. You know, first, second, third base, and home plate. I want to quote Matthew Henry, because it seems so clear in his words, and I don't want to steal credit for the help that his words are to me and have been to me personally in understanding this passage. He says, quote, if a man did harm, as it is Leviticus 5:16, in the holy things of the Lord, says, he thereby committed a trespass against the priests, the Lord's ministers, who were entrusted with the care of these holy things, and he had the benefit of them. Now, if a man did alienate or convert to his own use anything that was dedicated to God unwittingly, he was to bring this sacrifice. As suppose he had ignorantly made use of the tithes or first fruits or firstborn of his cattle. It's a reference to Leviticus 22:14-16, which is principally meant here. We'll come back to that. We continue with this quote. Or had eaten any of those parts of the sacrifices which were appropriated to the priests, this is a trespass. Now listen, it is supposed to be done through mistake or forgetfulness, for want either of care or zeal. For if it was done presumptuously and in contempt of the law, the offender died without mercy. You see, this offering was to cover sin that was done, would you say, ignorantly or carelessly or due to apathy. But if the person did this on purpose, then they were to be killed. Why? Well, for one thing, it's blasphemous. And it is intended, this offering is intended to provide for those who aren't in rebellion against God, but had made a sinful mistake or error. Why was that? Well, if they did it on purpose, then that's rebellion. And if they're doing it in rebellion, that means they're not really doing any of this by faith. It's revealing their heart of unbelief. And if you're an unbeliever, then you're damned. And that was why they were to be killed. Hebrews 10:28 says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. And that's why. So let's pick up with verses 14 and 15, where it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for a trespass offering. And then verse 16, and he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. So he'd offer a ram, pay for the restitution of the cost of the thing that he had made use of in violation of God's law. And then he had add a fifth, which is 20% additional fine to make restitution. So let's say the thing that he took and used against the law of God was worth $100 in our terms today. Then he would then offer the ram, and then $120. If it was $1,000, then he'd offer the ram and $1,200, and so forth. And if you have trouble with percentages, there are calculators on the internet you can use. But that's our attitude that we should have if we ever do something wrong, and we even if we didn't mean to or careless or whatever, we should go above and beyond. We should pay back or restore whatever it is we cost that person, and then we should offer something over and above that, making restitution. And that's how our laws here in the United States of America are set up to work. Verse 17 continues, "And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, he is guilty, yet he is guilty, and shall bear his iniquity." So ignorance, apathy, or carelessness is not an excuse. Sin is sin and requires a sacrifice. And again, it goes back to the heart of the sinner. And that's why when someone claims to be repentant, you can tell by their attitude. If they are truly repentant, they don't make excuses, and they try to make restitution. And we've talked about that before, but it bears repeating. And brings us to the final two verses here in the chapter. Verse 18 says, "And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherein he erred and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him." Verse 19, "It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord." So even when we sin against others, our sin is ultimately against the Lord, first and foremost. And for the record, the Lord explains this clearly when it comes to the holy things, profaning the holy things, as Matthew Henry mentioned. Leviticus 22:14-16 says, "And if a man eat of the holy thing unwittingly, then he shall put the fifth part thereof unto, and shall give it unto the priest with the holy thing, and they shall not profane the holy things of the children of Israel, which they offer unto the Lord, or suffer them to bear the iniquity of trespass when they eat their holy things, for I the Lord do sanctify them." One thing that stands out to me in my understanding is how involved this whole system is. If you've been following along, you've noticed that. There are a lot of intricate details about all of this. Particular types of sin for particular types of people with options and such. And the priests have specific details that they're to follow. And as I read this, again, pointing out how often it just points to the blood of Christ and teaches us about Jesus and his all-sufficient sacrifice for sin. But also, I just think, aren't you thankful that we have one sacrifice for all sin, past, present, future, for all people, rich or poor, male or female, doesn't matter where you're from, what's your background. We are forgiven eternally when we repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in his shed blood on the cross and the power of his bodily resurrection, where he conquered sin and death and won for us the victory over sin and death and won for us eternal life. And we can be restored practically then on a daily basis, as far as our daily walk in fellowship with the Lord, by simply approaching God in the name of Jesus with a broken and contrite spirit, humbly confessing our sins. And if we do so, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have a priesthood. We don't have a system. We have a Savior. Christianity is called a religion, but it's not a religion. It's a relationship. And we need one high priest, and we don't need any other. He is our one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And he is our Savior, he is our Lord, he is our all in all. And I hope you can see that as we go through Leviticus, and we'll pick up with chapter 6 next time, that through it all, it points us to one, and his name is Jesus. And it's my hope every time I close out one of these studies that I don't get to do the next one. Of course, I don't really want to drop dead. But if I died, I'm in heaven. But what I hope for all of our sakes is that we are raptured and that we go home before I'm able to produce another Leviticus study. But if the Lord tarries, and Lord willing, and the church don't rise, we'll see you next time in our next Leviticus study.
Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible.